you've been searching for that time to get on some sort of a roll here to get that good feeling, and you need a game like this to give you a chance.
We're still struggling to try and score goals night in and night out, but we've been able to do that in the last couple games.
It doesn't get any easier, and as the season moves on, pro games get tougher and tougher.
There's not an easy answer to that.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show with Ezra, Dave, and Drew on your home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. For all those joining us live at tsn1290.ca, we say good morning, universe, and welcome you to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Not one, not two, 3 hours of hockey talk for you on this Saturday morning. You know the hockey season is upon us. The hockey season is nigh when we go back to 3 hours after our summers of 2 hour shows, but we're back to 3 hours from now. All the way through next July, we welcome you to the program. I'm your host, Drew Mindell. The man on my left, Ezra Ginsberg, joins me in studio. Dave Manuk, away from the show on this Saturday morning. We'll welcome him back next Saturday. Ezzy, good to see you. I've been away for a few weeks. You got married in the interim. A pleasure to see you.
Yeah, you're ready to go here for three hours. You're not going to tire out like Conor McGregor did a few weeks back against Mayweather, are you?
I might. As you know, I have a newborn at home, and sleep has not been something that I've been getting a lot of. So if I begin to doze off, around the 11:15 or so mark, just, give me a little nudge or something, and I'll wake up.
And it's a good-looking kid.
Yeah.
I got to say.
My wife, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we don't want someone else looking like you, but no
hell no.
He's really cute,
terrible.
And obviously we're excited about the new addition to the Mindell family.
Yes, and the Mindell family is excited about the new addition as well, so it's unanimous in that sense. We welcome you on this Saturday morning. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. That's how you can reach us in studio. You can also do so via text. Send your messages to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. We'll get them here in studio. Perhaps we'll even read them on air if it's a really good text. So again, you can text us here in studio, 129090. We, of course, start with the big news of the week with the Winnipeg Jets. And that is what I would describe as the long-awaited contract extensions for both general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff and head coach Paul Maurice were announced earlier this week, something that we expected way back, in April, in May, when the season ended. They seemed to indicate that these contract extensions were going to be imminent. Well, my definition of the word imminent and other people's definition of the word imminent might be two different things, because it took right up until just this week for the contract extensions to be announced, and the manner in which they were announced is, to me, Ezzy, a little odd. Usually when you announce a contract extension, it's a good news story. It's something the team wants to trumpet. We have committed to X player for X number of years. When it's a player, they release the salary figures. With a coach and general manager, they rarely do that, so that's no big deal. But to not announce, and it still hasn't come out as far as I know, how many years the contract extensions are for Paul Maurice and for Kevin Cheveldayoff, is to me a little bizarre, and the whole way that this was unveiled is a little bizarre.
And we know that Kevin Cheveldayoff got a longer deal than Paul Maurice, but
yes,
we don't know how many more years he got. So, I mean, if you're asking me what I think it is, I would probably venture to guess it was a 1 to 2 year extension for Maurice, and then probably a 2 to 3 year extension for Kevin Cheveldayoff. Let me turn my phone off here for a second.
Yeah,
Drew.
the clown noise is really that's the ringer you're going with.
You know, Drew, that's never happened to me live on this show. I usually turn my ringer off,
yeah.
So I don't know if that was Naomi trying to get a hold of me or.
I hope that your ringtone for your wife isn't a clown noise. That would probably be getting your marriage off to on a rocky start, I would suggest.
You know, Drew, you don't have an iPhone, but I do, and I find that all the rings are equally annoying. Like, for me, it's just picking, one of...
So when somebody calls you at work, Does your entire office get to hear a clown noise like that?
Well, I usually have my phone on silent. Uh-huh. And I had my phone not on silent because I obviously had to wake up this morning for the show. But anyways, going back to what I was saying about Paul Maurice and Kevin Cheveldayoff, I agree with you, Drew, that we expected to find out the term of the contract extensions. And I mentioned I do think it's probably 2 to 3 years for Chevy and 1 to 2 years for Paul Maurice. But it's also, as you mentioned, we expected these contract extensions to be mentioned in either April, May, June, before the draft, maybe early in the summer. But, I mean, for me, the amount of years is not as important. I mean, let's be honest, Drew. We know that Paul Maurice was not given a 5-year contract extension, right? So everyone knows it's most likely 1 or 2 years, right? I think you'd agree with that. I don't think they gave him 3 or 4 years. I would be surprised. It's possible, I guess, but I would be very surprised if they gave him 3 or 4 years. As far as Chevy goes, I wouldn't be as surprised if they gave him a 3 or 4 year contract extension because I think Chevy's job is more secure. That's just my own opinion. I think we knew all along that Kevin Cheveldayoff was going to be the general manager long-term. He wasn't being brought in when the Jets came back for 2 or 3 years because he obviously signed a original 5-year contract and then was given the 2-year extension. I believe it was in year 3, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds right.
So going back to you know, the events that took place this week and the contract extensions being announced, but without the term, mm-hmm. I mean, to me, this is really all about, it's no more complicated than Jets owner Mark Chipman believes that Kevin Cheveldayoff and Paul Maurice are the right guys to get this team into the playoffs, not only this year, but in the years to come, right?
Let me ask you this, though, Ez. So, you know, let's start with the Paul Maurice extension. We'll deal with the Kevin Cheveldayoff one next segment. So Paul Maurice has, in my estimation, and feel free to disagree with me if you want, I from my determination, I would say he has struggled as the Winnipeg Jets head coach. And that the talent on the ice has not reflected itself in the record that the Jets have been able to put up on a game-in, game-out basis. That's my opinion, my estimation. What was the urgency to give that extension right now on the eve of the season starting? Do you buy the argument that a head coach entering into his final year of his contract is a quote-unquote lame duck, that it's a distraction for the team? Do you buy that argument? I'm just not sure what... If this didn't get done in April when people thought it was going to get done, what was the urgency to do it in September on the eve of training camp?
To answer that question is difficult because, first off, I don't think you're necessarily a lame duck coach if you don't have another year on your contract. I mean, look, it happened recently with the Bombers. I've mm-hmm. used that example before with Mike O'Shea, and he got this team into the playoffs, and now look where they are now. The Bombers are one of the top teams in the CFL, so it's not necessary to have a couple of years left on your contract in order to have the confidence of the general manager and the ownership, right? But it's clear that the ownership and the general manager want to give Paul Maurice that security and that vote of confidence. So I agree with you. I mean, you know, if you're asking me a couple of weeks ago, heading into training camp, Drew, next week, obviously, I thought that Paul Maurice was going to go into the year with 1 year left on his contract.
This being his final season.
Absolutely. So, I mean,
And a sort of a put-up or shut-up sort of situation.
And I don't think that changes, by the way. Just because you have an extra year or an extra 2 years, the Jets have to make the playoffs this year. I mean, that's just the simple fact of the matter. And you've heard Jets captain Blake Wheeler talk about that. Basically, he said, this is the year. He said that directly. We have to get into the playoffs. Other Jets have said that as well. Mark Scheifele has said that. Matthew Perreault has said that. They're all going to say that. And why wouldn't you? When you've missed the playoffs the last 2 years, Drew, there are no more excuses, right? Well, and so for Paul Maurice, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I realize a lot of people were scratching their heads and asking, well, are the Jets rewarding mediocrity? Mm-hmm. And Jets owner Mark Chipman even responded to that and said that even though the team has missed the playoffs, they believe they're on the right path. And we're going to find out if they are on the right path, and that's going to be whether or not they make the playoffs.
Here's the direct quote Mark Chipman gave about that mediocrity comment. This is Mark Chipman on Paul Maurice. Quote, I don't think he's been mediocre at all. It doesn't really matter what I think or what Kevin thinks, Kevin Cheveldayoff. I think the most important criteria in bringing Paul back is what our players think. The level of respect that our captain has for him and it is unanimous across our team how much he's admired as a leader. When you get that, you want to embrace it. You want to hang on to it as long as you can. I mean, I'm not sure that I fully buy that argument that it should be the players deciding who is running their, you know, in charge of their strategy.
Well, if you're the general manager of a hockey team, you obviously factor that in, but that should not be your determining reason for extending a coach. I mean, it's the results on the ice, Drew, and it's where you see the coach taking the team, right?
Yeah.
And it's pretty clear to me, and I mean, we could argue this all day long whether or not Paul Maurice is the right man for the job, but this is going to be the most important year. Paul Maurice has got this team into the playoffs once.
Mm-hmm.
That was 3 years ago. They've missed the playoffs the last 2 years. I don't see a way that Paul Maurice is the coach of this team going forward after this year if they don't make the playoffs. If they miss the playoffs 3 years in a row, I don't think he really stays on as the head coach to see that contract extension. By the way, I do think the Jets can be a playoff team this year, so I don't think that's going to happen, but there's a lot of pressure on Paul Maurice. There's a lot of pressure.
You don't think the contract extension has given him any more job security than if he didn't have the contract extension?
No, I don't.
It's sort of bizarre. I mean, I don't necessarily know that you're not that you're wrong in that opinion. It's sort of a bizarre situation.
He has to get the Jets into the playoffs. When you're talking about all of the young firepower they have on this team, Drew, and you know who that is. That's Mark Scheifele, Patrick Laine, Nikolaj Ehlers, Kyle Connor is going to play full-time for the Jets most likely this year. Josh Morrissey. I mean, they've went out and acquired Steve Mason, Dmitry Kulikov, Matt Hendricks. Kevin Cheveldayoff has now said, we're giving you the players that we feel are going to make this team better. So now it's up to the coaching staff and the players to get into the playoffs. And if the team doesn't get into the playoffs, I would expect for there to be changes.
Which makes the entire concept of handing out the contract extension to begin with sort of counterintuitive, in that it is a put up or shut up year. If you believe that, and I probably agree with you there, that it's a put up or shut up year, but we're still going to hand you a 1 or 2 year contract extension. We don't know how long it is because the Jets didn't divulge that information, which is sort of odd in and of itself. It's an odd set of circumstances, from my opinion.
Another example, Drew, if I'm not mistaken, Randy Carlyle only had 1 year on his contract this past year. I don't think he had another year after this year. And then he was given a contract extension after the season ended by the Anaheim Ducks. So you don't necessarily have to have a contract extension to know that there's a future with the team or to have job security. But the reality is, how many NHL coaches know that they have the job security going 3 or 4 years down the road? I mean, it is a results-oriented business. It doesn't matter who you're talking about. Look back, you know, 3 years ago when the Columbus Blue Jackets started the season. Sorry, that was 2 years ago when the Columbus Blue Jackets started off the season 0-7 or 0-8. Todd Richards was fired and John Tortorella was brought in. Look at where the Blue Jackets are now, right? So, I mean, you can be fired. If the Jets start off the season and they only win 2 out of 10 games, who are they going to look at?
I would think would be the coach, which makes it all the more bizarre that they just handed the guy more money and more years.
And again, I don't think that that's going to happen because I think the Jets should get off to a good start. And I think they have a really good chance at making the playoffs. If you ask me right now, I do think they are going to be a playoff team. So I'm not trying to, you know, say that I think Paul Maurice is in trouble or anything like that. But the reality is things happen. Mm-hmm. And you know, the NHL is a very competitive league. And at the end of the day, if he's not able to get this team into the playoffs, I think they're going to bring in someone who can.
Well, as we head to break, Rory, I'm going to get you to queue up. This is Paul Maurice talking about what it means to go into the season with that contract extension. When we come back on the other side, we'll talk about Kevin Cheveldayoff and his contract extension.
You know, I went into years in the last year of my contract a couple of times, and that always turned out strong. And I did have a couple that we had missed the playoffs early before, and that went pretty well. The honest answer, Jeff, is I'm not really sure that you change a whole lot of what you're doing. You've got to squeeze at certain times, and you have to have the confidence and the courage to squeeze, even when things aren't going particularly well, and you're starting to feel you might need that next win so that you keep coming to the rink the next day. But I've been through it enough that I don't think that happens. I think you just keep driving for the right team.
This is the O'Legal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca.
Saturday morning here on TSN 1290. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. This segment brought to you by our friends at Bell Acres Golf and Country Club, official golf course of Illegal Curve Hockey. Bell Acres offers an 18-hole championship golf course that golfers of all levels can enjoy. For more information or to book a tee time today, visit bellacres.com. What a fabulous weekend of weather we're in store for.
This is like July weather.
It's beautiful. Beautiful day today and a beautiful, even hotter tomorrow. I think up to 30 degrees tomorrow. I don't know about you, Ezzy, but if I had a little bit of free time in my calendar on this weekend, I would be out at Bell Acres Golf and Country Club hitting the sticks. Maybe, you know, you're winding down the number of opportunities you're going to have between now and, you know, the end of the golf season. Hopefully it extends into October. But, you know, on a beautiful weekend like this, man, oh man, you know, I love the NFL, but on a Sunday like that, I'm not going to be sitting in front of the TV, you know, glued to the television when it's 30 degrees out on that. I'm going to be outside trying to make the most of one of those late summer Sundays.
Yeah, you can still get out to Bell Acres, I would say, probably until mid-October, especially when you consider last year people were golfing well into October. So usually that kind of signals the end of the golf season, but I mean, here we are September 9th. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've still got probably 6 weeks left here, and I'm hoping to still get out a couple more times.
Yeah, my understanding is you saw your shadow, so that means we have eight more weeks of summer. Yeah. I think that's how it works. Yeah, if I got that correct, I believe so. Second individual to get a contract extension this week in the Winnipeg Jets organization, that of course is general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff. And from my perspective, I hear less, not, I don't think upset's the right word, but I hear less concern from people that Chevy got that contract extension than Paul Maurice. Now, Chevy certainly has come under criticism, these parts and other parts, for maybe being too cautious when it comes to improving the team.
Not this summer.
Not this summer. The summer he was active.
He was aggressive.
For the first time since the Jets returned, he had an aggressive summer.
Yep.
And
I think he had to be.
I think he had to be, too. I think if he had another summer like last year where he just sort of stood pat and wasted yet another year of the primes of his young players and, you know, another year of veterans like Wheeler and Little, people would have been calling for his head. Well, he had what I would describe as a successful offseason. So I don't hear the same level of consternation with the fact that Kevin Cheveldayoff got a contract extension here. But, you know, it is a put up or shut up year, maybe less so for him just because he has the job security of being the general manager. I don't think, even if this season goes completely off the rails, and I don't expect it to, I think this Jets team, they're going to be hard pressed to make the playoffs, but I think they should be competitive right through the end of the season. This shouldn't be like last year where the season was basically over with 20 games to go, and then they went on that winning streak in the last 10 games, and it made them look a lot closer to the playoffs than they really were.
Yeah, the month of November really set them back with the injuries to Brian Little and Tyler Myers and the 16 games, and I believe they only won 5 of those 16 games, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It seems so long ago, but to your point, Drew, I mean, a pessimist would say that, well, the Jets have only made the playoffs once in 6 years. So how good of a job has Kevin Cheveldayoff done? But then the optimist would say, well, even though the Jets have missed the playoffs the last 2 years and 5 of the last 6 years, Kevin Cheveldayoff has this team going in the right direction. I would be one of those optimists. Mm-hmm. And sure, that's because, you know, we're on the home of the Jets. And I do believe that the Jets are heading in the right direction, and it's not just the young players that the Jets have drafted. And Kevin Cheveldayoff even admitted that the Jets got lucky by winning the draft lottery and selecting Patrick Laine second overall a couple of years ago, but it's also how Kevin Cheveldayoff has managed the core pieces of the team. Look at that Mark Scheifele contract, Drew.
Yeah.
Most people would say that Mark Scheifele contract is looking like one of the best bargains in the league.
Yeah.
And I think the Blake Wheeler contract as well. So I'm not saying that Kevin Cheveldayoff hasn't made any bad decisions contract-wise. I mean, I think Toby Enstrom's contract isn't looking that great right now. Or you go back, you know, 3 or 4 years, signing Olli Jokinen into that 2-year deal doesn't look really good.
The Andre Pavlik contract was the worst of them all.
Sure, and but I mean, any general manager is going to have bad contracts. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at Ken Holland, who I think is one of the best general managers in the entire league. We've had him on the show many times. He's got some pretty bad contracts there in Detroit, and now they're struggling with that. They're right up against the cap, and you know they're having trouble, you know, signing Athanasiou right now. So
it's interesting. You mentioned Ken Holland. And Ken Holland, who I regard as one of the best, better general managers in the league.
Absolutely.
And Doug Armstrong in St. Louis.
Yep.
Also somebody who I would regard in the upper echelon of general managers in the NHL. Both of them are entering the final years of their contracts.
Yep.
And there doesn't seem to be any sort of woe is me, the sky is falling about, you know, from the Blues organization or the Blues fan base and the Red Wings organization and the Red Wings fan base, that those two gentlemen are entering the final years of their contract. So I just find that interesting, sort of the dichotomy between the St. Louis and the Detroit situations and what we've seen in Winnipeg this week with, you know, with Cheveldayoff and Maurice both getting those contract extensions and, you know, immediately no thought, no chance that they would enter into the final years playing it out to see how the season goes.
Right, and, you know, there still is pressure on Kevin Cheveldayoff. There might not be as much pressure, Drew, but, I mean, from top to bottom, this Jets team wants to, the Jets organization, I should say, wants to get into the playoffs this year and next year and the year after. I mean,
well, now they're built to do it.
Right. And, you know, they've talked a lot about draft and develop. Mark Chipman talked about this yesterday, but now it's develop and deliver, right? It's moved from draft and developed to develop and deliver because now you've stockpiled the cupboards with all of these prospects. And you look at, you know, the Young Stars tournament, there's other players that are pushing for time in the NHL now, but It's time to deliver on now all of these years of missing these playoffs and stockpiling all of these young prospects, right? So, I mean, if the Jets aren't able to now not only make the playoffs but go far in the playoffs, then that's going to now fall on Kevin Cheveldayoff, right? We're talking 2-3 years down the road now because making the playoffs isn't going to cut it. This is a team now, especially when you talk about some of these young players that are in their prime, Patrick Laine, Nikolai Ehlers, Mark Scheifele, Jacob Trouba. These are all top 15 draft picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now is the time to do something in the playoffs.
Well,
you only have a short window. You look at the LA Kings, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the LA Kings, they won a couple of Stanley Cups. But now their window, I think, has closed on being one of those Stanley Cup contenders, and that partly has to do with, you know, how they manage some of those, you know, let's be honest, they signed some bad contracts there, Dustin Brown being one of them.
What I think is interesting from the Jets' perspective is that for the first time ever, the Jets organization themselves, by which I mean Chevy and Maurice and Mark Chipman, they're elevating the pressure. So, you know, usually They downplay expectations and then they're more, you know, they're more pouring cold water on expectations. This offseason, especially in the last couple weeks, I believe that they are adding the pressure themselves. I think the fan base is desperate to see some good hockey and desperate to see winning hockey. Because for the first time that I can remember, the Jets' true north, they're offering mini packs. So I don't know if you've noticed that, Ezzy, but they're offering 4- and 6-game mini packs.
I have a press pass, so I don't have to worry about that.
I know. Very good. I'm very proud of you. But they are offering 4- and 6-game mini packs, which I find interesting. Does that mean that there is a softening of the ticket base? Are people upset about the fact that this team has only made the playoffs once in 6 years?
I think some are. I think there are a majority of the fans, though, that will still renew their season tickets, even if the Jets miss the playoffs for 10 straight years, right? Because the Jets still do have 13,000 season ticket holders, and there are still there's still a waiting list, as far as I'm concerned, unless that's changed.
No,
and
I believe
that waiting list has thousands of people on it. So I don't know if the demand has changed. Maybe it's softened a little bit, but I don't think it's changed dramatically.
I think people are upset the last two seasons that they've been paying top dollar for substandard hockey. And it's one thing if it's substandard hockey, you know, on occasion. There's always going to be bad off games. But it's been substandard hockey more often than not.
Well, it's substandard, Drew, in the sense that they haven't been a playoff team.
They haven't been successful.
And you remember back to...
you're watching lousy hockey for the most...
Well, I don't know if I would say... I mean, this past year was pretty exciting with Patrick Laine scoring 36 goals. But the reality, Drew, is fans want to be seeing meaningful hockey in April. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you go back to 2015, the first whiteout here at the MTS Center, that's what fans ultimately want to see. They want to see meaningful games in February, March, and April. Sure, I mean, you want to see a Lion A hat trick or you want to see a big buff hit,
but
you want to see this team competing for a playoff spot and ultimately getting into the playoffs. So I agree with you.
From the All-Star break on, for the last two seasons, the games, I mean, they haven't realistically been in playoff contention. And that's a lot of hockey over the last 2 years. That is what I would describe as more or less meaningless.
Right, but at least, you know, this past year, you had the 7-game winning streak, so that gave fans a lot of optimism.
But that 7-game winning streak when the season's already,
done, oh, I agree. Yeah, it meant nothing in terms of making the playoffs. I mean, they still missed the playoffs by, I think it was 7 points, right?
Yeah.
Nashville was 7 points ahead of them. But as far as the fans, they had a lot to cheer for as far as, you know, Mark Scheifele and Patrick Laine adding to their point totals. And just the Jets were playing very well there at the end of the year, and they were playing the role of spoiler as well. But you're absolutely right, Drew. I mean, fans want this team to make the playoffs this year. And not just this year, for years to come. You look at the Edmonton Oilers and the Toronto Maple Leafs, they made the playoffs last year,
mm-hmm.
and now the expectations are that they make the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
Right? So the Jets organization, I don't think, is going to accept anything else.
Well, and they are the ones, for the first time ever, adding to that pressure, besides it coming from outside forces like some in the media and the fan base. So that'll be an interesting change in the dynamic as we enter the 2017-18 season here. When we come back, we're going to head out to Ottawa. We'll talk about the Ottawa Senators with our good friend James Gordon. He's joined The Athletic, he and everybody else. So James Gordon's going to join us to talk about the Senators. They're going to be without Erik Karlsson to start the year. A lot of news out in Ottawa. We're going to circle back to the Jets Prospects Tournament and Paul Edmonds coming up in this hour as well. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's an IC Saturday on TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
Bottom of the hour is come and gone. Saturday morning, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in studio by my good friend, Ezra Ginsberg. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can text us here in studio, 129090. Send your text to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. And of course, our website has got the latest Winnipeg Jets news. That's illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the program our very good friend, James Gordon. James is now covering the Ottawa Senators for TheAthletic.com. James, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us, and congratulations on joining The Athletic.
Thanks, and thanks for having me back on your show. It's great to be back on Illegal Curve.
Well, we appreciate you making time for us, James. It's been too long for an old Winnipegger like yourself to come on Winnipeg Radio.
At least, I think.
James, how much did it help to have that first name to get your position with The Athletic?
I really pitched that there were not enough James on the roster, and we gotta rally our forces here and get as many as possible. So. Yeah, that definitely played a factor.
Well, as long as Myrtle doesn't change his first name to, Steve or something, you should be fine for a while. James, obviously,
you never know what he's up to.
Yeah, he's shifty that way. James, we obviously brought you on to talk about the Senators, and it's an interesting 2017-18 season for the Ottawa Senators, because we know last year they made that. What I'll describe as a Cinderella run, where they got within a Game 7 overtime goal of making it to the Stanley Cup Final, where they were that close to defeating the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yet, from my perspective out here in Winnipeg, and from what I read by various other hockey journalists, nobody was really buying the Ottawa Senators as a legitimate Eastern Conference contender yet again.
Yeah, and I mean, this is sort of the same story that happened last year. And obviously they proved a lot of people wrong. But, I mean, you know, I think that every team that has a run like the Ottawa Senators have and, you know, that even the Pittsburgh Penguins had, and any team that goes far in the playoffs, is they need, you know, to be playing well. They also need a lot of good fortune, and the Senators got some of that during their playoff run. I mean, they played a Bruins team in the first round that had lost something like four of their six defensemen, and Tuukka Rask was having an off year last year, and same with Henrik Lundqvist in the second round, and you know, they had a lot of things go their way, but they also, you know, they really seemed to kind of coalesce around the new coach Guy Boucher's message, and they started tightening up their game as the season went on, and they really made good strides. Now, I think they're still in the same position this year, where they're sort of that classic bubble team where you look up and down the roster and you say there's some really nice pieces here, and this is a team that has a chance to make the playoffs, but you wouldn't rank them quite as high as you would, say, a Pittsburgh or a Washington or something like that. But, you know, I think the biggest X factor for them, and a lot of people will say that it's Erik Karlsson because he had an availability the other day where it didn't sound super promising that he'd be back anytime really soon, but for me, it's whether or not they can get the same level of goaltending from Craig Anderson and get it for more of the season, because, you know, it's kind of startling to me how, you know, the rest of the league doesn't seem to see Craig Anderson in the same light as the guys like Carey Price and Braden Holtby, when, you know, last season at 5-on-5, he actually had a better save percentage, and he's over the last 3 years in the top three. So to me, and I know you guys are very familiar with this in Winnipeg, you know, goaltending can be the great equalizer for a team that maybe isn't so great in other areas, or it can really sink a team that has, you know, a lot of talent like the Jets do. And, you know, hopefully in Winnipeg that gets sorted out this year, and hopefully for Ottawa they can get the same level of goaltending from Craig Anderson. And then, you know, the sky's the limit when you got a guy who's saving like 940 or something when they're at even strength.
James, you mentioned Ottawa Senators captain Erik Karlsson, and it was announced earlier this week that there isn't a timetable for his return coming off of off-season ankle surgery, foot surgery, I should say. But when you talk about you know, Erik Karlsson and then Mark Mathot, who isn't going to be back this year, how concerned are you about that Senators defense when you consider that Erik Karlsson is obviously their best defenseman, and then Mark Mathot, who was obviously such a steady influence back there for them for the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, starting with Mathot, I mean, he was obviously a great soldier for the team and you know, really a great leader for them, and he was really well-respected in the city, an Ottawa guy. He was a big part of the team for a lot of years. Now, in terms of making up for his loss, I mean, I think they do have options. They have a guy who played, you know, fairly well with Erik Karlsson last year, and Freddie Claesson, who's one of their younger defensemen. They have, and they're really, really hoping and have their fingers crossed that Thomas Chabot, their number one prospect right now who plays left defense, will be able to step in and really help them out there. That's a lot to ask of a 20-year-old, but, you know, he was MVP at the World Juniors. He had a great playoff in the queue, and they're really hoping he can step up this year. I mean, on the other side, obviously, you don't replace Erik Karlsson. He's by far their best player. I think most people have them in their top three defensemen in the league, or if not that, in their top five. But, I mean, he's a guy who completely changes the game for them. It's like the old Fresh Prince episode where, you know, they're playing basketball and they're just saying, pass it to Will. I mean, this guy, they give him the puck and he gets it to the other end. So, you know, they can't afford to lose him for too long because of what you mentioned before. I mean, it's going to be it's a very competitive division. Montreal is going to be good. Boston's going to be good. Toronto might be really good this year. So they can't afford to fall too far behind at the beginning of the season if they don't have Karlsson in the lineup. So I'm sure they've got their fingers crossed for that, too, that he isn't out for too long.
You know, James, just sticking with the defense, when you talk about, you know, the loss of Erik Karlsson, because it looks like he's not going to be ready for the start of the season, how important is it to have a guy like Dion Phaneuf on the back end now?
Well, that's going to be something that's going to get sorted out in training camp. I mean, they think that he might be the guy who winds up playing with Carlson. I think the Senators, for the past couple of seasons, despite some of the narratives you hear about, they have some pretty significant problems on their second pair with Phaneuf and Cody Ceci. I mean, their possession numbers have been, quite frankly, pretty atrocious. So they definitely do want to see better performance from those guys. And, you know, it might be a matter of they're going to be forced here to try some new pairs. I mean, Mathot and Carlson played together almost all the time that they were here. And with Mathot gone, they're going to have to change some things up. And who knows, he might wind up with a Phaneuf-Carlson pairing and it really works out or something like that. But certainly on the leadership side, too, they're going to have probably a bit of a tough start here just dealing with the injury situation and maybe having a couple younger players in the lineup. And Phaneuf's a guy who really embraced coming here and playing in this city and this team. So that'll be an important factor for him, too.
James Gordon is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. James covers the Ottawa Senators for TheAthletic.com in Ottawa. James, news came out earlier this week that the Senators are going to reduce capacity at Canadian Tire Center. I still want to call it the Palladium, but I guess that's a few name changes ago.
That was also a bar in Winnipeg.
That was a bar in Winnipeg. It's true. I'm not even going to go there, in fact. Is this the Senators' way of admitting that the arena is just too large for the fan base as it currently stands in Ottawa?
You know what? I think it's tempting to say that, and it might be now only because I think the way that people, you know, consume hockey and a lot of the ways that, you know, our society at large has changed has made smaller buildings make more sense. I mean, back when they built this thing, it was, you know, you'd watch a game on TV and you could barely see the puck, and now people have 70-inch screens and you know, can watch from the comfort of their own home on a Thursday night because their kids have school in the morning and it's the dead of winter and who wants to go outside. So I think the incentive in a lot of ways to go out and go to a game has been lowered, and thus that affects the market demand a bit. Obviously, another thing affecting it is the team was for, you know, about 10 years one of the NHL's elite teams. And that set expectations really high here that, you know, if you guys aren't going to be at the top of the standings, it's going to be tough to fill an almost 20,000 seat rink. But, I mean, obviously it's getting a lot of play here. You don't want even the perception that the market isn't supporting the team. But it's all about perspective, too. I mean, people here would you know, complain about a game with, you know, 16,000 and a half fans, and I'd always say, oh, another Winnipeg Jets sellout. So the rink is probably at this point too big for the market. When they plan to build a new one, they plan to make it smaller, more around 17,000 anyway. And, you know, they got to try something here because the rink has been so big that, you know, they're trying to sell season tickets, and then you can go on StubHub any day pretty much and, you know, get a decent ticket for like $8. So, you know, they're trying something. I don't think it's as terrible as maybe it's been made out to be, but, you know, things change and they're trying to change with it.
James, in your preview of the upcoming Senators season, you referenced Dom Luchishin's article in the Hockey News about star power in the NHL. And, you know, anybody that looks at the Ottawa Senators, they would say, well, Eric Carlson's clearly a superstar. And Craig Anderson has, you know, made himself into a self-made superstar with his fantastic goaltending. But that the Senators have two other quote-unquote stars in Mark Stone and Mike Hoffman. You know, do you get the impression that those guys don't get the credit they deserve in and around the NHL for just how good they actually are?
I'd say so, yeah. And part of that is just because they play in sort of one of the, I mean, it's not a marquee market or anything, despite the success last year. And I think it is tough sometimes to get attention in Ottawa unless you are an Eric Carlson type guy. But, you know, they do have some decent forwards. I mean, Hoffman's a great scorer. And I mean, Mark Stone is another good Winnipeg boy. I mean, this guy is I think, so underrated and such a great two-way player. I mean, I pointed out in the article that he had the most takeaways in the NHL last season, by like a large margin, despite playing 11 fewer games than each of the next five guys. So, you know, that's the kind of player you want on your team who drives possession like that, who plays really well defensively and scores quite a bit. He's a 60-point guy. He scores over 20 goals. So, you know, he's certainly, you know, if not their best forward, then he's right in the conversation.
James, Derek Brassard underwent shoulder surgery back in early June. Is he on schedule to return, and when do you think he is going to return?
I think a lot of the stuff, I mean, like you heard from Carlson this week, a lot of the stuff is going to start getting sorted out once guys start reporting for camp. So in terms of what I know, I'm not quite sure of Brassard's exact timeline, but I mean, he's another guy that they can't afford to lose. He was their best forward from an analytics perspective in the same sort of zone as Mark Stone last season. So, you know, he's a 1 or a 2C, so they definitely need him to get back too.
James Gordon covers the Ottawa Senators for TheAthletic.com. James, always appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again real soon.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Take care, James. When we come back, we shift our focus to last night in Penticton, BC. The Jets' young stars took to the ice against the Canucks' young stars. Talk about that game. Talk about the tournament. Talk about the young stars. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's an IC Saturday. We're live on TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
But the Jets do control. Sevigny plays it back to the line. Shot, score! Shot from the line. Traffic in front as Kret Belzile let that one go. And the Winnipeg Jets are on the board early with the 1-0 lead.
And that is the first goal of the 2017-18 Winnipeg Jets season. I guess you can sort of say that. Don't expect that many of the players or any of the players participating in Penticton this week are going to end up on this Winnipeg Jets roster for this coming season. But I suppose stranger things have happened than that. But the Jets last night in Penticton, they are facing the hometown Vancouver Canucks, I suppose, dropping a 4-2 defeat to the Canucks. Mikael Burden, the Jets goaltender of record last night, did have a decent game, stopping 35 of 38 shots that he faced. The fourth Canucks goal was into an empty net, but the Jets dropped the first game in the Young Stars tournament by a 4-2 margin. You know, this tournament's always sort of, it gets more attention than it probably truly deserves, just because it's the first hockey of the, you know, 2017-18 season. It's before training camp officially starts, and it's before exhibition. So this is sort of the appetizer before the real main course gets underway in the next few weeks. Anything that you're looking for, anybody you're sort of keeping an eye on from the Jets prospects at this Young Stars tournament this year, Ezzie?
Well, you mentioned, you know, there was more interest in the Young Stars tournament when the Jets first came over from Atlanta, Drew, and I agree with you on that, because when you talk about, you know, the Young Stars now, well, first of all, a lot of the Jets' young prospects are now either in the NHL or in the American Hockey League, right? Mm-hmm. So even guys like Kyle Connor or Jack Roslovic, which are still young players in their early 20s, I mean, those guys aren't in this tournament anymore. They were obviously in years past. But, I mean, there are some intriguing names. Antoine Kret-Belzile is an interesting one. He was actually undrafted. Mm-hmm. But when we talked to Jerome Berube, who covers Quebec hockey prospects, obviously in the QMJHL, Kret-Belzile was a guy that was expected to go in Chicago, and he wasn't. So he's a guy that you wonder maybe if the Jets are going to end up signing him at some point, and he might be a guy that becomes a dark horse prospect. But, I mean, when you're talking about some of the other prospects, the ones that stand out to me are obviously the prospects that are going to play for the Manitoba Moose this year. So you're talking about a guy like a Jansen Harkins, who obviously scored yesterday in the 4-2 loss mm-hmm. to the Canucks. You're talking about a guy like Mason Appleton, who's going to play for the Manitoba Moose this year. But, you know, you can go up and down the list. And there are other intriguing prospects. A guy like Skylar McKenzie, who's drafted late in this past year's draft.
Seventh round pick.
Yeah, out of the Portland Winterhawks. He actually had 40 goals for the Portland Winterhawks. And so he's an intriguing prospect, a diminutive, if I can say it right,
you did.
Player for the Jets here. So, I mean, I'm looking more at the defense, and I mentioned Krit Belzile, who obviously is not a player who is even under contract, but you're talking about Sammy Niku, and you're talking about Logan Stanley. Sammy Niku, the expectation is that he's going to play for the Moose this year. Mm-hmm. He's a smaller defenseman, but moves the puck really well. He's even drawn comparisons to a guy like Toby Enstrom. So when you're talking about Niku...
Both of late-round picks.
Late-round picks.
Enstrom was an eighth-round pick, which doesn't even exist anymore.
Nope.
And Niku was a seventh-round pick back in 2015.
Right, and Niku... You know, has been very impressive in to date, and you know we'll see what he can do in the American Hockey League this year. But he's definitely a guy who the Jets have high hopes for. And then another obvious one, Drew, is Logan Stanley.
Sure.
And the expectation is that Logan Stanley is going to play for the Windsor Spitfires again this year. He's most likely not going to play that much for the Manitoba Moose. Maybe he gets into some action later on in the season when the OHL season is done. But the expectation is he's going to play one more year in junior. And there's obviously high expectations again for Logan Stanley. You know, considering that the Jets traded up to take him in the 2016 draft. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Logan Stanley to me is one guy that I'll be watching. But as a whole, I mean, this tournament has always been more so for the general managers and the scouts, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is an evaluation tournament. It's no different than the World Junior Summer Showcase that we had back in July, where general managers and scouts are looking at their prospects and seeing how they match up against other top prospects, right? So for the Vancouver Canucks, you've got players like Brock Besser, who the expectation is he will play in the NHL next year. So you're trying to see how some of these guys play against elevated competition, right?
Well, you look at the Jets roster that they took to Penticton, and of all the players that they take, I mean, the 23-man roster, only 12 of those players were actually drafted into the NHL. Everybody else has either been a free agent signing, there's a couple of those, or they're there just on invitations.
Yep.
I mean, the Jets are really using this tournament as, I think, a means of seeing if they can, you know, unearth a diamond in the rough.
Another guy is Michael Spacek, and we'll ask Paulie about Michael Spacek because he had a big year for the Red Deer Rebels playing for Brent Sutter there. He had 85 points, I believe. He got into mm-hmm. a few games for the Manitoba Moose last year.
Yeah,
and so he's another guy that, you know, I'm going to be interested to see how he does because he's a guy who the Moose expect to be a contributor for them. Not necessarily their top player, but a guy who, because of the success he had in the Western Hockey League, they're hoping that he can bring some of that to them. They hope it translates, obviously. So Spacek's a guy, you know, drafted fairly late as well. He was a fourth-round pick mm-hmm. of the Jets a couple years back. So there's a lot of intriguing prospects. And these prospects might not be first-round picks. Aside from Logan Stanley, I believe he's the only first-round pick that the Jets have at this prospects tournament. But there are other late-round picks that could definitely factor into the Jets down the road. I don't think guys like Sammy Niku and Jansen Harkins and Michael Spacek are going to play for the Jets this year.
No.
But when you're talking about 2-3 years down the road, we could see these guys in the NHL.
Well, I think that's, you know, Jansen Harkins, by all accounts, was the most dangerous of the Jets forwards in the opening game against Vancouver last night. And I think that's what the Jets want to see. This is a guy who's the highest of the draft picks playing from highest of the forwards in terms of draft position. He was a second round pick, of course, back in 2015. You know, he got into four games with the Moose last year. This is a guy that's going to probably play a key role with the Moose this coming season as the Moose look to try and be a have a better season after they've been pretty awful for the last 2 years as well.
Yeah, and they're going to be a young team again this year. Yeah. And when you talk about, you know, some of these prospects that we're seeing in Penticton, again, I mean, at the end of the day, I should say at the end of the weekend, mm-hmm. no one's really going to care how many wins or losses the
Certainly
Jets
not.
Have, right? But it's going to be about how some of these players perform. And a guy like Jansen Harkins has had a lot of success in the Western Hockey League, obviously has the lineage. His dad played in the NHL as well. But he's a guy that I think a lot of people think could maybe down the road be a third-line center. So I think, again, this is just a window into the future of the
sure.
Winnipeg Jets. And it's an evaluation tournament, like I said, so you know, you're getting to see a little bit of hockey here in early September. It's really just a precursor for training camp for fans. I mean, only the hardcore fans are really watching these games or listening to them on the radio. Let's be honest here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's exciting.
If you're telling your significant other that, I'm sorry, dear, I can't go out on Saturday night because, you know, I have to watch the Young Stars tournament, then you really, I think, are a super fan at that point in time.
Right, and we obviously hope that, you know, people are tuning in to TSN 1290
yeah.
To listen to these games. But I think it's the preseason and regular season which fans are looking forward to most.
Yeah, certainly. That's definitely the case. It's, you know, Tucker Poolman didn't play last night. It'll be interesting to see when he gets his first game action, because he's really the only player I would suggest that is in Penticton who might see some time with the Winnipeg Jets this season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that's because, Drew, he's a little bit older.
Certainly. I
mean, he's 24 years old or 23 years old.
24 years old now.
Yeah, and so he played a full career at the University of North Dakota. So he's a guy who's a little bit more developed than some of these other players who are 20 or 21 years old. I mean, I expect him to play the majority of the season with the Manitoba Moose, but I would also expect him to maybe get a bit of a look with the Winnipeg Jets. I don't know how many games that is. Maybe it's 2, maybe it's 4, maybe it's 10. I mean, if there are injuries, you never know if Tucker Poolman gets called up. He's got the size. He's got the mobility. I've seen him play in Grand Forks. You know, he's got a good shot, and he was a leader of that University of North Dakota team that won a national championship a few years back. So I would agree with that. Tucker Poolman is probably, out of all of the prospects in Penticton for the Jets, he probably has the best chance at playing significant time in the NHL this year.
And the other player that I'd keep an eye on is Jamie Phillips, another one of the goaltenders that's there representing the Winnipeg Jets. We know Burden, Mikael Burden got the start last night. He played last year with Sioux Falls in the USHL. Jamie Phillips turned pro, of course, bounced between the ECHL, the Tulsa farm team for the Winnipeg Jets, and he got 11 games in with the Manitoba Moose.
Well, and you wonder how much Jamie Phillips is going to play in the American Hockey League, because we expect Michael Hutchinson to play.
I think Phillips just spends most of his season, barring injury,
right,
of course, as the number one guy for the Jets' ECHL farm team. Again.
Right, and I guess there is a chance that the Jets carry 3 goaltenders. You just don't see that very often in the NHL, so most likely Jamie Phillips is probably going to spend some other time not in the American Hockey League, unfortunately, mm-hmm, but he is a guy, too, that is a long-term prospect for the Jets.
Absolutely. So some interesting names to watch. It's not like it was in the last few years where some of these guys had the opportunity to make the team. Remember, it was, I think, last year, was it 2 years ago, that Brendan Lemieux, with a good performance at the prospects tournament, sort of thought he might be able to crack into the Jets lineup, and then, of course, that didn't end up happening. He got banged up in training camp. So not going to be that situation this year, likely. More so, these are guys for 2-3 years down the road from now. When we come back, we head out to Penticton. Paul Edmonds joins us. We'll talk about the tournament. We'll talk about the contract extensions. Talk about the Jets offseason. Much more to come. Hour number 2 up next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca.
Hour number 2 of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. This segment brought to you by our good friends at Keener Jerseys. Keener Jerseys, known as one of the world's best jersey customizers. If you want awesome jerseys for your rec team or have a jersey you want personalized, visit Keener Jerseys online at keenerjerseys.com. You can also check out their showroom, 982 Portage Avenue. That's the corner of Portage and Sherburn. Tell them that Illegal Curve sent you. Some great, great stuff going on at Keener Jerseys. They'd be ramping up because, you know, hockey rec season getting underway here in, you know, probably next few weeks for those that play winter hockey and that sort of thing. So all those funny customized team jerseys, if you need one of those, get it from our good friends at Keener Jerseys. We have Paulie ready? No, we're still having some trouble getting Paulie Edmonds on the... Apparently, phones are very difficult technology nowadays. So Rory's going to work his magic to try and get Paul Edmonds on the line, and we'll talk to him about the contract extensions. We, of course, started the show with that. Talk to him about the Young Stars tournament as well, and, you know, everything going on in the world of the Winnipeg Jets right now.
Yeah, going back to the Young Stars Classic in Penticton, when you look at some of these prospects, and it goes back to what we were saying about some of the first-round picks that we're used to seeing at the Young Stars Tournament, but when you talk about players like Sammy Niku, or you're talking about some of the other prospects, you know, that are in Penticton, Tucker Poolman is another guy who was a late draft pick as well. These are players that are really going to factor in when they do eventually come into the NHL, because these are depth pieces. And we've seen this already this year, Drew, with some of the forwards that are pushing for spots in the NHL, mm-hmm, whether that's a guy like Kyle Connor, whether that's a Jack Roslovic. you're talking about players, and obviously those are first-round draft picks, but those players are going to have difficulty making the team this year. And even with guys like Brandon Tanev or Nick Petan, Brandon Tanev obviously being unsigned, but Nick Petan being a second-round pick, those guys, especially with having a Matt Hendricks now coming into the lineup, a veteran, they're going to have trouble making the team. But when you're talking about down the road, I mean, these players, obviously the development part of it is going to factor in big time here with these players, because not only are they going to be expected to step into the American Hockey League and have a big role, you have to find a place for them at the NHL level, right? So Sammy Niku, a left-shot defenseman, I mean, you're looking at a guy who they hope that maybe he can push for a top four spot on defense. Maybe he's a third pairing defenseman. But at the end of the day, if you are able to turn a seventh round draft pick into an NHL defenseman, I mean, I think that you're doing pretty well there.
Well, you know, it's sort of an interesting phenomenon with the Winnipeg Jets. The number of, you know, they certainly don't have, they have more players than they have roster spots. So, you know, the signing of Matt Hendricks, a lot of people, particularly those, I think, who are more analytically bent, who might subscribe to more of an analytic belief in the game of hockey, were upset about that. We're upset about that signing because they say that takes away a spot from Marco Dano. That takes away a spot from Nick Petan. You know, how Matt Hendricks factors into the lineup. So there are certainly a lot of competition for jobs among the Winnipeg Jets organization, especially in that bottom three and that bottom six. It's going to be a fluid situation, I think, as the season unfolds, to see where those guys slot in. You know, where does a Nick Petan, who's certainly better suited for an offensive role, is there a spot for him with the Winnipeg Jets? I'm not 100% sure that there is, or that I see a clear path to one right now, and that'll be interesting to see as the season progresses.
Yeah, and you mentioned Tucker Poolman, Drew. He didn't play last night, but we're expecting him to get into the lineup for the Jets in Penticton. He's a guy that, you know, especially towards the end of the season, you know, he might get more of a look, but if there's an injury or anything like that, you know, he has an opportunity to get into the lineup. But you know, there are a lot of intriguing prospects to come for the Jets.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome to the program our very good friend, Paul Edmonds. You know him as the voice of the Winnipeg Jets here on TSN 1290. Paulie, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us.
No problem. Sorry about the phone hassle, guys. They've got a new tower at the hotel here that we're all staying in. The reception with cell phone service isn't very good, so we had to go old school and use the landline. But glad to be on with you this morning.
Well, from a radio perspective, we always prefer landline. So I appreciate you joining us, Paul, and no worries at all about the cell phone issues. Obviously, Paul brought you on to talk about the Winnipeg Jets, talk about the opener of the Young Stars tournament last night. You know, the Jets dropping that 4-2 defeat to the hands of the Vancouver Canucks. You know, from your perspective, Paul, did any player in particular jump out at you? This is a Jets Young Stars team that doesn't really have a ton of players, I would think, that are going to be, with the exception of maybe Tucker Poolman this year, probably not very many of the guys who are in Penticton have a chance to make the Jets at this upcoming season.
Yeah, that's true. But certainly there's been some real good storylines. And then to answer your question about players that I thought kind of caught my eye last night, I think looked no further than in goal, where Mikhail Burden was just exceptional. I mean, he got better as the game went along, and he had to be, because frankly, I thought that the Jets' Young Stars were decent in the early stages of the first period. I ran into some penalty problem, gave up a couple of power play goals, ended up falling behind 3-1. We're really reeling, Drew, in the later stages of the first period. Kind of ended up shoring that up a little bit, put a couple of good shifts together by the end of the period, carried that over into the second period, got within one goal, and then, of course, I thought Vancouver took another stride in the entire third period, and that's where Burden had to be real sharp. There was a post that was hit, there was a breakaway that was missed, there was lots of odd man rushes and opportunities for the Young Stars for the Canucks, and Burden really held the Young Stars for the Jets in the game. So I thought first and foremost, if you're looking for somebody that really rose on that roster for Winnipeg last night, it was Mikhail Burden, and it puts him in good stead, because I think they're really looking at what this kid can do. He's only 19 years old. He'll probably go back to the USHL in Sioux Falls this year, but not that far away from Winnipeg where you can keep an eye on him. But he was the best Jet on the ice last night. And then there's other guys that I thought impressed at times. Matthew Sevigny was physical and ended up getting a point on one of the goals last night as well. I thought Brandon's Jordy Stallard was really good and going up and down the wing and doing some things with the puck. So there was some guys that I thought really stood out last night, did some good things. Sammy Niku again, who I was impressed with in July at D-Camp during that scrimmage game. I thought he really handled the puck and moved the puck well. I thought he did so last night as well. So there was some real good play by some certain individuals. And overall, as a team, I thought they had moments as well, guys, just not enough of them. And certainly I think that Vancouver was full marks for their victory last night over the Jets and the Young Stars in Game 1 of this tournament.
Paulie, I wanted to ask you about Jansen Harkins. He's played a handful of games for the Manitoba Moose. He's a guy that was drafted a couple years back in the second round. He picked up a goal last night in Penticton. When you watch him play, is this a guy that you see projecting as kind of that two-way forward down the line for the Jets?
Yeah, Ezra, I think that's pinpoint. You know, I mean, this is a guy that's had now, he was four games, as you mentioned, almost a handful last year with the Moose. 10 in total over the last 2 years. Had a real good year in Prince George in his fourth year of the Western Hockey League this past season. Goal total was down just slightly, but point total was up, which tells you that, you know, he's distributing the puck a little bit more and shooting at the same time as the center. They had him at wing last night, and Pascal Vincent said that they're very comfortable in knowing what Jansen Harkins brings to their organization in the middle of the ice, but they want to see what he can do over on the wall. And part of that, I think, or a large part of that is, okay, listen, if we think this kid is good enough to advance through our system, but we don't have any room up the middle, can we put him over onto the wing and have him move up on our depth chart? So I think that was the move last night that they made. I thought Jansen at times looked real good as well. I was impressed with him at D-Camp. I thought he was one of the best forwards that the Jets had out there in July. Of course, that's an inter-squad scrimmage. But last night, I mean, he found a nose for the net in that one goal that got them within one at 3-2. And just every time he sort of touches the puck, he has an opportunity to make a play. And this is also the third time that he's been in this tournament. So he said to me yesterday he's very comfortable now with the environment of this tournament, what to expect, what to know, and how to try to make that impression. But I think he did so last night, and he's one of those guys that I would tell you that I think has got a better chance, or maybe a quicker chance, to move up on the depth chart from, say, the Moose to the Winnipeg Jets. Not necessarily this year, but certainly in a year or two to have that opportunity. I wouldn't be surprised if he started the whole year with the Moose this year, and I think that's where he's projected to play, and then maybe at some point got an opportunity to get a game or two. One of the downfalls for him was, you know, or one of the knocks was his skating, and he said that he worked real hard in the off season to get better at that. So these guys are always trying to get better at certain skills of the game that they may not be as adept at, and that's certainly one of them. But he's got a great attitude. He's a real good kid. He comes from good stock. His father played 48 games in the National Hockey League. Some uncles have played some college hockey as well, so there's great pedigree there, and he just really enjoys the game and loves being a Winnipeg Jet. So there's a lot of good things, I think, ahead for Jansen Harkins, and we saw a little bit of that last night. And, you know, I'll be looking to see how he follows that up here tonight. That's one of those things, guys, about this tournament, is when you see good play from some of the players that we've mentioned, maybe save for Mikhail Burden, because I would imagine Jamie Phillips is going to get an opportunity tonight, although that's unconfirmed. You want to see consistency in this tournament. You want to see Jordy Stallard and Jansen Harkins and Sammy Niku do some of the things that they did last night consistently tonight, and then carry that on again to play Calgary on Monday.
Paul Edmonds, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Paul joins us from Penticton, where the Jets' Young Stars will be in action later on tonight. A game, of course, you can hear live on TSN 1290. Paul, would your expectation be that Tucker Poolman gets into the lineup tonight?
Yeah, I would think so, Drew. I know that they had declared that, and that was the Winnipeg Jets' top administration, that he wasn't going to play all three games. But they want to have a good look at him, and they want to give him an opportunity to play. And he's not the only 24-year-old here. There's a few of other players, like Jake Kulevich is another 24-year-old, who I thought was real good on the blue line last night and played for the Manitoba Moose last year. So I think they want to give Tucker Poolman an opportunity to play. They want to not ease him back in with that double shoulder surgery, but they don't want to put a whole lot of strain on him. So let him go in, probably play tonight, bump and grind a little bit here, see how he is in live game action, have the day off tomorrow, and then assess again whether he can go on Monday if he feels 100%. Or there could be a little regression maybe after, say, tonight's game, and he might be a little bit sore, and then they would prevent him from playing on Monday as well. But I would think, and they practice at 10:45 Pacific time here tonight, or this morning, so 12:45 this afternoon, they're on the ice Central time for their morning skate here, so we'll have a better idea of the lineup, but I would expect that Tucker Pullman will play tonight for the Winnipeg Jets Young Stars, giving us our first opportunity to see him.
Paul, Tyler Boland lit up the QMJHL last year as an overager, 103 points in 68 games. You know, played last night, obviously, for the Jets Young Stars. He's in you know, at the tournament as part of an invitation from the Jets organization. What do you think of his game? And then sort of as an addendum to that, are the Jets really using this tournament as a means to try and unearth sort of a gem in the rough where they may not have been, that somebody may have slipped through the entry draft process?
Well, you know what? I'll answer B first. I think that based on the fact that they have 11 invitees and Pascal Vincent yesterday, and then we had, of course, on the air with Dennis and I, Jimmy Roy, the director of player development for the Winnipeg Jets, they had to cap the number of players that were sort of trying to sell themselves for a spot outside of the organization to come and play in this tournament, which is a real good sort of bowl for the Winnipeg Jets as an organization that people want to sort of try to ply their trade here and come here as free agents. They had to stop and tell guys that were interested in coming and trying to invite themselves that no, we were full. So I would think that, yeah, to some degree, based on the number of guys that they have here on a tryout basis, that they're looking for that guy that maybe was on the cusp of getting drafted but didn't, fell through the cracks a little bit, maybe grew a couple of inches this past year or this past season, maybe got past that 19-year-old year that didn't get drafted or maybe developed a little bit later, and then this summer has really put on some muscle or improved in a certain area, like skating in their skill set. So, yeah, I think so. I think you could make a case for making that argument that the Winnipeg Jets are using this tournament, unlike any of the previous six, for that opportunity to try to find one of those guys or two or three of those guys that can fit into their organization that maybe got overlooked at on the draft stage for a couple of seasons. And then to ask about Tyler Boland, listen, you don't score 40 goals in the QMJHL or put together over 100 points by fluke. I mean, this kid had a breakout season this past year in the QMJHL with Rimouski, and I liked what I saw from him last night. He was one of those guys that I identified when I went through the list, about six guys. Okay, who am I watching here? He's one of those guys that I talked about the storylines going in. You know, last night I watched him with particular interest in isolation, and I thought that he skated at this level, no problem. He was a centerman, so he took some draws. I thought when he got the puck on his stick that he was crafty. He tried to set up a goal last night. I think it was Skyler McKenzie that he set up, and you could see why just in that one sort of rush off the rush with the puck from the blue line in, why he found a lot of success and was prolific in scoring this year in the Q. There was a few things that he did with the puck as well has that shiftiness to him that I went, okay, I can kind of see why they've invited this kid. And, you know, there's almost, you know, you're kind of hoping for this kid to kind of do something, because he would be an even better and greater story if he was able to kind of push into the lineup and get into training camp and maybe find a spot with the Manitoba Moose this year. But then there was a play over on the wall in his own zone where he got the puck, forgot to move his feet, got checked, turned over the puck, and then you say to yourself, that's probably one of the reasons why, you know, in his game that some scouts overlooked him. So there's still some improvement to be made for a guy like that, but I don't think that you can dismiss, because the 100 points says it all, a guy like him and what he's been able to do. One of those guys I always look at when they put up a lot of points in major junior, like a Tyler Boland, the thing that I look for is, okay, great, maybe he's got an excellent shot, maybe he's got some hockey sense, maybe he's got a little bit of physical play, but can he skate at this level in today's game? And that would be the first thing that I would look at that probably would be the drawback as to why he didn't get drafted. But for me, I thought that Tyler Bolin got up and down the ice pretty good last night. So I'll look for him again tonight if he's in the lineup, and then certainly on Monday when they wrap up the tournament. But it would be a real good story if this kid was undrafted, scores over 40 goals and over 100 points in maybe his last year, a major junior, and then comes and finds a spot at the AHL level with the Manitoba Moose.
Paulie, sticking on the same topic here, wanted to ask you about Antoine Crette-Belzile, and it's not just because he scored that goal last night in the first period. It's because he was a guy who was projected to go somewhere in the middle rounds, whether that's the fourth, fifth, sixth round. He wasn't drafted, and he's a late 1999 birth date, but he's a guy that's had injury problems in the Quebec Major Junior League. Is there a chance here that the Jets are going to sign him, or do you think maybe they'll try to maybe draft him in the 2018 draft?
Well, I'll tell you what. I liked what I saw from him last night, Ezzy. This kid right away ended up scoring a goal early in the hockey game, as you mentioned. But he got a lot of ice, and he had a lot of touches on the puck. And from what I saw when he handled the puck, it wasn't a hand grenade, and he certainly made the right decisions, and he can skate. So, again, he'll be a guy that I watch with some interest again tonight because we've seen what now he can do. They weren't afraid to play him last night, and he was not out of place whatsoever. So to speculate on whether they would sign him, I think if they like him at the end of this tournament, you don't really want to maybe take a chance of him going back in and then you having to try to, you know, boat race 30 other teams to try to draft him. So I think if you have the opportunity that maybe you sign him to a contract, whether that happens or not, we don't know. But, you know, you bring him in to have a look for that purpose. And from what I saw last night, he's got my interest, and I would dare say that he's probably got some interest of some of the Winnipeg Jets' top administration as well when it comes to viewing what he can do. He's not a bad-sized kid. He's not undersized at all. I thought he played fairly physical in getting in front of the other players, certainly from the Vancouver Young Stars. So this would be a guy that I think is on the radar screen for that exact reason. And again, another one of those invitees and a late birthday, but I thought he had a real good game last night to acquit his skill set to the Winnipeg Jets brass, and we'll see what he does tonight. But, yeah, he's a guy that I think that you want to keep an eye on certainly tonight and Monday if he plays both.
Paul, last one, we'll let you go on him. Sort of bizarre that we haven't asked you about him because he's the highest drafted player in the tournament. Logan Stanley, thoughts on his game last night?
Yeah, you know, there's still a little bit of work to do for me. I thought at times... you know, there's a number of things that you look at with Logan. I mean, you certainly he's not hard to find on the ice at 6'7", and I'm not being facetious when I say that or flippant. He's just the biggest guy on the ice usually all the time, and it seems that when guys with speed want to go wide on him, it looks like he's all of a sudden got caught and you're going to beat him wide, but then here comes that long stick, and you know you get poked off the puck. So he has that physical advantage over everybody. And last night I thought there was a couple of plays where, you know, down low he kind of removed the player from the puck physically and then made that real nice outlet pass, which I thought this is great. I mean, that's exactly what you want to see from Logan Stanley down low in his own zone. Take the guy wide, drive him wide toward the wall, physically remove him from the puck, not blasting him through the wall though, picking up the puck, and then outletting to your winger, and you're out of your own zone with that first pass. Those are the kinds of things that I want to see from Logan Stanley, and I did last night. But then there's other parts to his game where, you know, he gets the puck last night in the middle of the ice, around his own blue line. He's the last guy behind everybody else, the other four players on his unit. They're up ahead of him, and he's trying to dangle through a couple of guys, turns the puck over in the neutral ice, bang, it's a 2-on-0 the other way. So those are the kinds of things that he needs to remove from his game. I would like to see him just be a little simpler, like I said, in that last scenario, where it's remove the guy from the puck with a physical body check, get the puck, make the first pass, and just kind of skate up the ice and get up the ice with the rest of the group, not having to try to toe drag and dangle through a couple of guys just past your blue line to try to make a play. When you get a little bit more confident, and certainly you get a little bit more mobile in doing some of those things, then I think you can kind of add that to your game. But I just want to see the simple plays from Logan Stanley with his size right now. But I still think there's a lot of potential there, but there's still a little bit of room to grow for sure.
Paul Edmonds is the voice of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN 1290. You can hear his call of the Jets' second Young Stars game later on tonight, 9:30 Central Time, puck drop, live here on your home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN 1290. Paul, we appreciate it. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, guys. We'll talk to you again.
We'll do it again soon. That's Paul Edmonds. We head to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's an IC Saturday on TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca.
Big thanks to Paulie Edmonds for joining us. Some great insight into the Jets' Young Stars prospects taking place in Penticton. That tournament continues. Game tonight, 9:30, as I mentioned here on TSN 1290. Of course, it's a busy day here on TSN 1290. We got some Banjo Bowl pregame show. We got Walby Westwood Bombing. They're joining us right after us at 12 noon. They'll get you set for the Banjo Bowl. 2 o'clock kickoff of that. They got your pregame, your halftime, and your postgame coverage here on the station, of course. This segment of Illegal Curve is brought to you by Frank and Mauro Zappi of Zappi Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. For all your real estate needs, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappi online at zappiagroup.com. Ezzy, this is the PTO time of the year. That's where players get signed, not to contracts, but to professional tryouts and the opportunity to come to training camp and play their way onto various NHL teams. Thus far, the Jets haven't signed anybody to a PTO. No real surprise, given that they already have too many bodies for too many roster spots this coming season. Looking down the list of those who've been signed to PTOs, any one particular player jump out at you as somebody that might be able to contribute to a team in this upcoming season?
Yeah, and some of these players have a better chance at playing in the NHL next year than others. I mean, when you look at some of these names like Alex Chiasson or Jimmy Hayes, I wouldn't be surprised if those guys play in the NHL, and then you can go up and down the list and, you know, you see some names that didn't play in the NHL last year. A guy like Brandon Prust played in the German League last year. He's going to get an opportunity with the Los Angeles Kings. And a guy like Brooks Like, who played for the Toronto Marlies in the American Hockey League last year, he's also going to get an opportunity with the Los Angeles Kings. So those players are long shots, I would say, to play in the NHL. But, I mean, especially when you're talking about a Kings team that certainly could use more depth on the third and fourth lines, those guys might end up turning that into a one-year contract. And, you know, you look at some of the other players, Tanner Glass with the Calgary Flames. I mean, the Calgary Flames obviously have brought him in to compete for a fourth line spot. He's a guy who was a healthy scratch at times for the New York Rangers last year, but Alain Vigneault did like playing him. So I could see a guy like Tanner Glass maybe
had a game-winning goal in game one of the Habs-Rangers series last year.
So I think it was the first goal of the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken. But
it might have been.
Yeah, we'd have to go back and check that. But when you're talking about a guy like Tanner Glass, I mean, yeah, that's what you're looking at, a one-year deal, a guy who's going to play on your fourth line, might be that kind of 13th forward type, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nice to see a guy like Scotty Upshaw, who played for the St. Louis Blues last year. We weren't sure if he was going to get a deal. You know, and obviously, he hasn't got the one-year deal yet, but he gets a PTO. I wouldn't be surprised if a guy like Scotty Upshaw maybe plays on the third, fourth line for the Canucks this year. Ryan White, obviously from Manitoba,
yeah.
Former Brandon Wheat King, he's going to get an opportunity to make the Vancouver Canucks. Ryan Malone was a surprising guy because he hasn't played in the NHL the last 2 years. He's going to get an opportunity with the Minnesota Wild. So,
at 37 years old, he's trying to stage a comeback.
And I mean, he might not end up playing in the NHL this year, Drew, but certainly he could be in the American Hockey League, maybe even be a guy that plays for the U.S. at the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these players who were signed to PTOs, you know, it's just an opportunity for them to continue their NHL careers. And as we said, you know, some of the younger players, you know, they're 26, 27 years old, guys like Alex Chiasson, you know, guys like Jared Cowan for the Colorado Avalanche, they have a better chance at getting that one-year NHL deal, the one-year, one-way deal. But some of these other older players, I mean, they still have a chance as well. Another guy I should mention, Drew, Cody Franzen,
yeah,
with the Chicago Blackhawks. He's a little bit older at 30, but he's a guy that I would expect to get a one-year deal with the Hawks.
He can move the puck. He can skate. I mean, that's really the Chicago Blackhawks' back end in a nutshell. So he could be a poor man's Brian Campbell. maybe a very poor man's Brian Campbell as the Blackhawks look to try and replace that position.
But when you're talking about some of these other players, and we went over quite a few of them, but guys like David Booth or Pierre Parenteau, I should say, Pierre-Alexandre Parenteau, I mean, you're talking about guys that, I mean, what's their upside right now at the NHL level? Parenteau is a guy that's played in the NHL more recently than David Booth, but it's just nice for some of these guys who haven't been in the NHL in recent years to still have the opportunity to skate in an NHL camp and maybe turn that into a one-year deal.
When we come back, Associated Press hockey writer Stephen Wino joins us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's an IC Saturday on TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.